guess what? It is time for a walk and talk. This is when we go out and we walk. We don't know what we're going to talk about, but we walk. And so in podcast 921, we're going to do another. This is the second spring walk and talk. And the reason I'm doing it tonight is that it's utterly still. It's perfect. Utterly still, utterly quiet, and perfect for a late night walk and talk in podcast 921, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Yeah, it's starting to warm up, and it's beautiful out here, even though it's still fairly cold. I'm wearing a hat, you know, because it's and a jacket because it's still warm out here, but it's not that cold. And of course, it's going to get warmer. So as soon as it gets above 70 degrees, you could actually test your own air conditioning. Just turn it on and make sure it's actually producing cold air, and changing the filters and everything else helps. But you might have problems with your air conditioning. And these systems today, especially if it's a newer house or if you own an apartment building or something, these systems are very complex and you need somebody that really knows what they're doing. And that is Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. When you want reliable service, they're available 651-224-4771 in St. Paul. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Four generations in Frogtown in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And they ask, one of the ways you can help Ryan is just to mention them as good people for service if you've used them, or of course, Facebook. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Just saw another story the other day about the problems that American companies are having with foreign manufacturing now, especially given the pandemic issues across the world. So if you are thinking about bringing your manufacturing back to the United States, don't forget DepoStar. DepoStar is American manufacturing, engineering, and design. They're in Ramsey, Minnesota. They do CNC. They do medical instruments. They do quality, tiny work like avionics, electronics, and things of that nature, as well as CNC. DepoStar, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit them online at depostar.com, DepoStar, depostar.com. So you've probably been listening to the Bob Davis Podcast for a while. You have heard many of these walk and talks that are often, I don't even know what time it is. It's probably 1:30 a.m. Go time for me here at the Bob Davis Podcast because I'm nocturnal. Sometimes I come out here at 2 or 3 even, and in the summer, if you have listened to the walk and talks, you can hear. So Highway 100 is right near here, which is, if you're not from the Twin Cities, it's kind of a thoroughfare, two lanes, four lanes, but split by a medium, and of course two lanes either side. So it's not a freeway, but it is a freeway. I mean, it's not an interstate. Let's put it that way. I get confused with my titles. You can kind of hear. Now that's closer. That's out on whatever highway is that over there. That's just a, you know, local street. But sometimes you can hear on Highway 100, you'd be able to hear the trucks. And you would hear, even at 1 o'clock in the morning, you would hear hustle and bustle, you know, and during the day, of course, really busy. And even this late at night, there would be planes. And of course, it's utterly quiet. And it's nice to get out and just walk. What I wanted to talk about a little bit on this walk and talk is something that is near and dear to my heart talking about, and that is podcasting. And I want to talk about content in podcasting just a little bit. And I do occasionally do podcasts about podcasting. I do podcasts about business and podcasts about the business of podcasting a little bit, because there's a lot of podcasters, but a lot of podcasters don't post very often, and a lot of podcasters don't sell their podcasts. In other words, sell advertising in their podcast, and a lot of podcasters aren't too concerned with content. They just sit down with friends, and that's great. I'm not putting them down, but they sit down with friends, and they sit around and have a beer, and they kid around with each other, whatever, or something to that effect. And some of us are actually trying to do something with the podcast. In other words, create some content that's unique or different, or at least content in the podcasts. And this is an extraordinarily difficult time for doing that. If you have any degree of interest in putting up content that's compelling in any way. I don't expect walk and talks to be compelling content. I think what's compelling about the walk and talk, the sound of me walking, especially in the sound of my voice echoing off of the houses as I walk down the middle of the street, and the desolate quiet of the middle of the night. And, you know, before I left the house, I didn't really want to do the podcast. I was like, well, I'm going to go out and do a podcast, whatever, you know. So these are kind of just, I call these deglazing podcasts with content that kind of is just kind of fun and deglazes what is otherwise usually pretty heavy content these days. Unless it's an interview like I did with my friend Don down in the oil fields. Or some other subject that isn't COVID-19 or Corona, whatever you want to call it, the pandemic that we're dealing with right now, and or political stuff. And I said in the podcast with Don that I'm getting further and further away from even wanting to offer up anything regarding politics, because I don't think it makes any difference to anyone. I don't think it is having any effect. I don't think it's swaying anyone. I think it is noise. And so it creates quite an interesting issue for podcasters that do content that is current events or current topics or society and politics in particular. My category is society and politics, and I find myself, as I've often said in the past few years, leaning more and more on the social effects or social or societal topics related to things in politics. And I want to talk about why, because I think it's a great time to talk about why, because, of course, in spite of everything going on, we're on to May, almost, and so we have an election, May, June, July, August, September, October, 6 months to a presidential election, and of course, 435 members of the House of Representatives and one-third of the U.S. Senate, not to mention governors and state representatives and senators and all sorts of other things, depending on what state you're in and depending on how they do their local elections. You have all sorts of things going on with elections. And so there's going to be political content, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how I want to do that political content and why. And I want to talk about how podcasting for me has evolved in all of this. And we're going to do that in the second half of this Walk and Talk podcast, the second one of the spring. And if you listen, you can't hear any bugs. Now, you can hear the frogs up at the lake, but no bugs. So it still has that sort of quiet of winter, even though it's not winter. And it's a pleasant walk. It's about 45 degrees out here. So that's kind of cool, but it's still very quiet. So we're gonna talk about this part of this issue, this content issue, in the second half of this podcast. Well, you know, I can't mention this enough. I did talk about this the other day, and I'm going to say it again, that this is a great time if you're in business with, you know, just yourself, doing business for yourself. It's a great time to take a look at all of your systems and make sure everything's working the way you want. People don't like to make changes with payment processing or any like development issues or developers, things of that nature. But sometimes it's a good idea to take a look at what's out there. And if you are doing that, let me recommend ReliaFund, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D. They're a heavy-duty payment processor. They've been getting payments processed for 20 years. They do integrated solutions, which means they can integrate their systems with your systems to get payments cleared for more than two decades. Like I said, 20 years. So if you want to talk to them, you'll talk to a human being. If calm, no long-term contracts, ask for Greg Lowry or Kevin Hill. They're secure and technology-focused, 866-243-5040, or you can check them out online at reliafund.com, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D, reliafund.com. And I'm kind of getting the impression that people who can are starting to move on some ideas for either selling their homes or improving their homes. And if you're in the improving category, maybe you want a new kitchen or a finished basement or a man cave garage, you need a contractor. You need a builder who's going to be with you every step of the way from start to finish and making sure that your expectations are met. And I'm going to recommend Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota for that because they're awesome. Randy Grabo is WhitetailBuildersInc.com. There's a contact page at that website, and you can see some of the work they've done. You can leave your name and tell them what you want to do, and I'll tell you that Randy Grabo really loves talking about what people want to do, and his favorite thing to do is kitchens, and the stuff he does is amazing. 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801, and I want to let people know those guys have all of their suits and their protective gear so they can be very safe when they're working in your homes while this pandemic is going on. Whitetail Builders at WhitetailBuildersInc.com or click on the Whitetail Builder at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, then you know where I've been and how far I've come and how I have changed. And a lot of it has to do with starting out as a partisan commentator on radio and leaving radio and ending up doing podcasting and letting podcasting take me where I want to go, as opposed to letting the audience take me where it wants to go. So I don't follow the audience. I do what I want to do, and I say what I want to say, and I say and I do what's in my heart. And the conclusions that I come to based on my experience in life. And if the audience doesn't like it, well, then the audience doesn't like it. Or if it takes the audience in another direction, well, then it does. And in terms of, I personally feel, as a person who has talked about politics, as a person who's interested in history and politics, I personally feel that if you let the audience lead you, then they will push you into a position of simply saying things that they want to hear. And that is what we're dealing with almost all political content. Excuse me. Whoops, I just stepped over a branch. Or commentary about society or about things going on that we have in this country today. Unless it's a comedy podcast or, you know, just a fun podcast or a podcast about motorcycles or something, or sports. Almost all of it has some political cant. Almost all of the political podcasts try to dissect what goes on day to day, and then that fits in to social media. And then there are trends and rivers or creeks or tributaries of thought on social media that drive public opinion. So if you want a certain audience, then you have to follow what that audience wants. I just won't do that. You know, I'm actually horrified by almost everything I see on social media because people believe things on social media which have no basis at all in terms of news gathering or applying the rules of evidence, meaning, you know, what is admissible, what is believable, and what is provable in any particular situation. It's just simply repeating what people said. And it's very dangerous, and almost all of it's propaganda. And I get into fights all the time with people where they think I'm challenging a platform. And so then the argument is, well, CNN is biased too. And it's like, no, this is not about bias. This is about the platform. This is about platforms that are created for the express purpose of actually spreading propaganda. I personally believe, because I've been tracking it for a while, that now when I say this, this does not require you to equalize the statement by saying, well, the Democrats do this too. I'm telling you that what happens with the White House is that they will soften up the beach with all kinds of stories about a particular topic, and then the president will tweet it, and then it will become part of the daily, whatever you want to call the press conference that the president has every day to talk about the coronavirus. And this is how they seed the clouds, and there are numbers of platforms, whether, you know, you if you do your research, you know what they are, I don't need to name them, that disseminate this stuff, and it's nothing but propaganda. And people believe it, regardless of whether it's true or not. And I could do 100 podcasts a month running down every single one of these canards, and that's what they are most of the time, as to the truth of whatever the issue is. And to podcasters, you know, you'll get an audience, and then when you follow that audience, you're going to follow them right down the line into whatever, wherever they want to go instead of where you want to go. And I'll give you an example of, I'll give you two examples of significantly iconic individuals who have gone against the grain. In other words, they have bit the hand that feeds them, or they have gone against the grain of what their audience, quote unquote, expected of them or demanded of them, and the shock that occurred when their audience basically was faced with the fact that the person that they thought was one thing actually had a mind of their own. One is Bob Dylan, and the other one is Malcolm X. And we'll start with Malcolm X. And Malcolm X, as everybody knows, was a spokesman for the Nation of Islam. Elijah Muhammad, who was the leader of the Nation of Islam, took a liking to Malcolm X, and Malcolm X was so loquacious and good at what he did that he became the spokesperson for the Nation of Islam. And this went until the scales fell from Malcolm's eyes, and he realized that Elijah Muhammad was a fake, in the sense that despite this organization that he created, that many of the people in the Nation of Islam and others, and certainly Malcolm X thought, was a good thing for black people, realized that Elijah Muhammad was not a very good person, that he had enriched himself, and that he had been having children with underage girls and so on and so on. And that is what got him killed. When he exposed that, then he got killed. But in the interim, he was kicked out of the Nation of Islam, and he had to go start his own mosque. And that was when he started to go against the grain. He started to say things that upset people who were part of the Nation of Islam, and he started to reach out to other civil rights leaders, and he toured the world, and he began to soften his positions and opinions on things. And my sense is that in that year period between being thrown out of the Nation of Islam and to the point where he then went around the world and began to speak and represent, he became an icon. That's when he became an icon. And of course, as a martyr, he was killed by members of the New Jersey Mosque, who one of which never did serve a day in jail, allegedly killing Malcolm X with a shotgun. Okay, I don't need to tell that whole story. There's plenty of information available about that. But I think it's fascinating because he had the strength to go against his people and argued with them, and it's still very controversial. Still, his positions are still very controversial. And if you watch film of Malcolm X today, he sounds kind of like a conservative, especially during that period of time that he was sort of in the wilderness and on his own and going against the grain. The second one is Bob Dylan, who was a folk music hero. He was the fair-haired, you know, boy of the folk music movement. So guitars and, you know, Mary Travers and Pete Seegers and all that. Michael, row your boat ashore, hallelujah. You know, the whole New York City, Greenwich Village folk movement, right? And, of course, Dylan became popular playing in all those Greenwich Village pubs in the late 50s and early 60s, and then he got the contract with Columbia, and he did Blowin' in the Wind, and he did basically the whole Woody Guthrie thing, and he was a folk hero. He was the hero of the folk music movement in America. And to the people in it, especially Pete Seeger, it was this thing, this folk music thing that was going to change the world, and they were going to sing protest songs, and it was going to be amazing. And so they had the folk music festival at Monterey. I think it was at Monterey. I'm pretty sure it was. And everyone was there with their checkered shirts on and their wine jugs and their and all that stuff, the whole folk movement thing. And they were all excited because Dylan was going to be there. And Dylan went out on stage with an electric guitar. And that was the big thing. I think it was 65 when he decided to go electric. And he went out there and started down this road of being this electric guy. And the thing about Dylan that I think is interesting is that Dylan loved rock music from day one. He was just, he cut his teeth on the folk movement, and that's what made him a star. And he had an audience in the folk movement. And he was famous in the folk movement. Obviously Blowin' in the Wind, which the microphone is now doing. I'm going to walk over here where it's quieter. And when he went electric, at that festival, it was horrifying. Now, most of the audience thought it was pretty cool, but because especially the younger people thought it was pretty interesting that he was doing that. But Pete Seeger in particular just had a fit, and he was going to chop the power snake. I'm going to walk up here because it's too windy here. Sorry. Chop the power snake so that Dylan's act would be cut off, and they stopped him from doing it. And the rest is history. Dylan became a huge star by going against the grain in pop music, by becoming a pop star and going against the grain and saying to the people who were folk music fans and purists, he had his own idea about things, okay? And I think those are two great lessons that people are probably, a lot of people probably are unaware of when it comes to what I'm talking about. You know, and well then, how are you going against the grain, Bob Davis? Well, for me, and this is how I feel, the audience that I cut my teeth on was the conservative political audience, so-called conservative political audience. And what started to happen with me was going back to 2012 and earlier, I started to question this unquestioned blind loyalty to a political party and to a president from a basic political party. And it took some time, because when you're on the radio and you're talking to a conservative political audience, they expect a certain approach and they won't tolerate any other kind of approach. And over time, you know, things have happened, the most notable things. And I think the biggest thing for me was covering the Republican caucuses and primary elections in South Carolina and Iowa, and covering for me meant going to every event and getting these candidates on tape and then going to the Republican National Convention. And I felt that it was a joke. I felt that what really surprised me was giving the same speech at every location and the same bromides and empty statements about limited government and less spending and everything else, all culminating in the nomination of Donald Trump as the presidential candidate in 2016, and the actions of taking over the convention and refusing to let the convention do its job. And now, of course, the people that support Trump are essentially a cult of personality. I'm certainly, just so everyone knows, my political orientation is, I don't think the Democratic Party is in any great shape either, and I just finished covering the Democrats down in Iowa. But I did have a different experience covering the Democrats in Iowa in 2020 versus the experience that I had covering the Republicans in 2016. And I think the part of it was the audiences are younger and more vibrant and more diverse. And I feel like the things that they're talking about have more, are more, what's the word? Improvised and a little bit less locked down and carry a little bit more traction with audiences, regardless of the candidate, than the Republicans did in 2016. And I'm not predicting an outcome. I'm just saying that's my experience. I don't feel that any political party in this country, and I don't feel that any politician in this country, whether it's the president or the Senate Majority Leader, or the Speaker of the House, or, you know, leading Republicans or Democrats, are doing anything to really address the challenges that we have in the future. And this I've said this long before we got to this situation that we're in now with the pandemic. And I think that, and in fact, I predicted that the United States government was going to have a crisis and that our leaders are not up to it, least of all the president. And I stand by that statement. We have seen one screw up after another by the federal government, and some state governments aren't doing so well either. And I think governors, you know, are due to do quite a lot of criticism along the same lines, and certain mayors of certain cities as well. This isn't something that just is left. So you are, in the end, and I'll conclude by saying this, in the end, as a content creator doing society and politics today, the lone car, I don't want to advocate, and I'm not going to advocate. I'm not going to tell you that we need to do this or we need to do that. I'm not going to tell you that the Democrats this or the Democrats that. I'm not going to tell you the Republicans this or the Republicans that. Because I just don't see the point. People are going to have to make their own decisions, and they're going to have to do their own homework. And if they let the propaganda do their thinking for them, regardless of where the propaganda comes from, if they don't zero base their judgments by thinking about what we need rather than thinking what I need, because that's part of the problem. Somebody said to me, a guy said to me recently, we were talking about Bernie Sanders, and he said, well, I don't care about him because they're not going to do anything for black people. There's a friend of mine who's black, and it's like, all I care about is what they're going to do about black people. You often hear that from farmers. I don't care about anything but what they're going to do with farmers or workers. We're not talking about what's best for the country. We're talking about, what do I get out of it? So this is a country that's ripe for populist manipulation and propaganda. It's very dangerous. And that's my position. And I think also one of the things that we've seen is a perfect example of the pernicious and dangerous power of government, especially when it is not wielded correctly or it is too heavily wielded. And depending on what state you're in, you might think that it's too heavily wielded. In other words, people don't like these stay-at-home orders. In my state, you can go wherever you want. They're just encouraging you not to. Certainly the bars and the restaurants are closed and the yoga studios and the gyms are closed. But you can go fishing and you can go golfing now. And so I hardly view this as tyrannical. Some people do, but believe me, if they wanted to go further, they could with these orders. Some states, they have gone further, and you know, that's certainly something people can debate. I'm not going to debate it because I can't convince people one way or the other. It's just that the way to cover this, and I'm just going to say this finally, because I don't want to go on too long. You know, I'm certainly going to talk about polling when we get around to it. I haven't talked about any polls, and there's enough polling that we could start talking about who's got this level of popularity rating and this person's, you know, job rating and everything else. I won't do that because I don't think any of it serves anything at this point. When we get close to the election and they start doing tracking polls, I'll start reporting once a month the tracking polls. And I will make all the disclaimers and no one will listen because they'll say, well, you're saying this or you're saying that. Polls do not predict the future. You have to average them. And they only show probabilities or possibilities because it doesn't bring into account the human element and everything else. And then there's the whole question of, okay, we have an election. Then what? Well, then these people have to govern. So then it's a question of, can so-and-so govern better than so-and-so? And what exactly are they going to do? And what exactly are the results of those things? And those are the things that can't be predicted. So I will do political coverage because we're having a presidential election, but I'm going to leaven that political coverage with a lot of other kinds of content. Because I think my sense is that people are literally saturated with people yelling at them and telling them all of this crazy stuff. Bill Gates is going to put, you know, trackers in all of us, and we're all going to be forced to take the vaccine, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and these people, this is all part of the end times. And it may be. But I'm not going to sit here. First of all, if you take all that stuff, aside from the fact that I wish Bill Gates would just shut up, I don't understand why everyone, the only reason that Bill Gates is considered an authority on anything right now is because he has a lot of money. And so when he speaks, people are going to listen to him because he has a lot of money. That's it. I wish he would just shut up. I don't consider Bill Gates an expert on education. I don't consider Bill Gates an expert on, you know, pandemics. He can certainly amass an awful lot of information, and he can pay people to tell him what to tell people. And he can, you know, say all this stuff about how smart he is, and people can talk about how incredible Bill Gates is. But he is not, you know, he is not an authority, in my view, on medical science. He's just a guy who, you know, had the luck and the skill to take advantage of the computer revolution and contributed to the world through Microsoft. But that doesn't make him Jesus Christ. And, you know, it doesn't. That's the same reason for a lot of these other people. He's just another celebrity. This is this time on the business front. He's just another celebrity. celebrity with an opinion. That's all it is. And I don't know why people think that somehow he is the Antichrist. So, you know, yes, I wish Bill Gates would shut up, but I'm not going to sit here and argue with your, as I said, apply the rules of evidence to the crazy conspiracy theories about Gates or everyone else. This is what people, and people, you know, are listening to this. So, you know, that's what makes our job difficult. If you don't want to just talk about that stuff, then, you know, people have to think. I make people think. That's my objective. I want you to think about what you think is best for the country, not some crazy conspiracy theory about Bill Gates. There's fun conspiracy theories we can talk about. I've made up a few, and I certainly love talking about them. But you know, I'm not gonna talk and do podcasts about stuff like that, because there is literally a proliferation of them. What can we talk about, and how can we talk about stuff in a different way? How do we make people think about what comes after? And as I've said, I think this is a huge turning point in history. This isn't just a turning point in the season. This isn't a turning point, a decadal turning point. This is a significant moment in world history. And I don't think we're halfway down through this giant transition yet. I don't know why I say that. I feel it. And I feel it very powerfully. It's not something that I could actually apply the rules of evidence to either, although I could, and I may do a podcast on that, because I think what's happening in our society today is very unique in history, and I think it's going to, I don't think things are going to be the same after. We got to start thinking about what kind of world we want for the future and how we're going to get it. And I got to tell you, we're not going to get it driving our pickup trucks around with American flags hanging out the back, and we're not going to get it wearing bandanas and throwing, you know, tear gas canisters back at the police either. We have to think about this stuff intelligently, and we have to start putting intellectual framework behind what it is that we want for the future. And we have to figure out what we can agree on and how we can do it. And if we can't, then it's going to be pandemonium and chaos and anarchy, which some people think is a great thing, but is very, very dangerous. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating. When you got to get AC checks coming up here, you can call them at 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, and of course online at ryanplumbing.com. Well, if you're working from home, you're probably using your printer a lot more, and it's either failing or it's costing you a fortune in print cartridges because you have to go to the big box stores or order from the big box stores online. You can save up to 30% on those print cartridges if you go to Cartridge World. You can call them at 763-420-6632, Metro-wide from Maple Grove, and also they have curbside delivery or free delivery on qualifying orders. They can even get you a printer if you qualify. 763-420-6632, Cartridge World, or you can click on the banner that says Cartridge World at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. All right, kind of just a fun kind of hangout talk kind of thing tonight. So again, just trying to kind of, you know, kind of swim through and kind of weave my way through all of the crazy stuff going on that I actually want no part of. So if you like the Bob Davis podcast and you want to subscribe, you can do it at iTunes. If you have an Android device, I'm going to recommend Spotify. It's the easiest way to listen to the podcast, or right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. If you click on a podcast, it takes you to the blog. And the blogs have tons of resources. There's all kinds of outbound links and stories that I've found that that actually pertain to the story, as well as each podcast. When you scroll down, there's a play button. You hit it, it plays, and that's how you can get the podcast. Thanks for likes and shares. Not comments so much on Facebook and Twitter. It's the sharing that really helps. Also on LinkedIn, which is really becoming a resource for me, and I appreciate your donations for Mobile Podcast Command, Wayne Nelson and Don Anger at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Thanks for listening to podcast 921. It's time for me at 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning to go back in here and put a movie on, take my water, and chill out, because this is my life. And it would be my life regardless. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. I will see you guys again soon. Bye-bye.
Leopard skin pillbox hat. Yes, I see you got your brand new leopard skin pillbox hat. Well, you must tell me, baby, how your head feels under something like jump on it sometime. Yes, I